Now, this is where we left off last week, was on number 3, unforgiveness is bondage. And I think that oftentimes we don't realize that we're putting ourselves in bondage by holding on to the unforgiveness. And as you can see, just kind of recapping, points number 1 is unforgiveness is disobedience, and we looked at scripture. We have to be sober. We have to look at those verses. Unforgiveness give Satan an advantage over us because it's like a stronghold in your life. And we don't, a stronghold means that the enemy just has this little hold on you in this area, and it ends up becoming more than just a little hold. He can really grab a hold of it if we really hang on and allow unforgiveness to torment us. Okay? So that's what happens with unforgiveness. It's disobedience. It gives Satan an advantage. It is bondage. And this is where we left off, you know. I want to overcome unforgiveness. I want to overcome rejection. And these are just two pieces of garbage. Can you think of anything else? And we don't have to talk about it, but I'm sure there's other things in our life that could be garbage. Sometimes not wanting to confront can be garbage in your life. Do you know that? Because you're denying it. It's just too hard. All through your life, you've needed to confront things or people, and you would rather bypass and not deal with it. But then what happens is it piles up, and the stuff that you should have confronted gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Does that make sense? So garbage, pieces of garbage, you decide what it is in your life, because we all have it. If you remembered in that video that we showed last 2 weeks ago, when we had Hope Fellowship Friday night for the part 1 of this message, do you remember what the man said who rented out his home to that lady at the very end? Or actually, it was in the very beginning. He said, he asked her, why is there garbage in your living room? Do you remember what she said? She said, I'm going through emotional problems right now just to justify in living in that mess. We can justify our junk anytime, can't we? And we can just say, well, we do it for comfort for ourselves, to say, okay, well, that the reason why is because this happened in my past with these people. It's their fault. Or I am the way I am because I was abused constantly when I was young. You know, you've heard part of my testimony, and I was abused. My stepfather beat me and my sister and my mom, and I've been raped. You know, you've heard my testimony. And if I stand on that and I go, that's who I am, oh my goodness, I don't want that to define me ever, ever. And so they came a place in my life where I had to forgive my dad. I had to forgive my my abuser, my stepdad, because my real dad, you heard my testimony on that, was an absent father. And then my stepdad was an abusive father. And here we are. You know, we can all take stuff in our past and we can hold on to it and let it define us. But we should never allow that to happen. Because what happened in our past is in our past, right? And so we got to get a hold of this stuff and realize what it is. I want to sit on unforgiveness a little bit longer tonight, okay? So now unforgiveness, point number 3, is poison. Unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. I'm sure you've heard that saying. I'm not going to forgive them, so therefore that should hurt them. When they have no clue they just go on with their life, don't they? But it's really like drinking this poison, saying, I want them to die, but you're going to die. You know? So to get rid of this unforgiveness, being mad at another person only hurts you. You might pull away from other people, thinking that you are punishing them, but you are really putting yourself in prison and drinking that poison. And every time you think about what happened, instead of getting angry, start to pray for them. That's hard, isn't it? But that's what we need to do. And in Scripture, it says in Matthew 5:44, it says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. We just heard that song. I feel like I'm the one losing by 10th Avenue North. Doesn't it feel like that? Why do I have to forgive when they did it to me, right? But that's where God is saying, we need to fall and pour love into that area. Allow love, God's love, to pour into you and into that area. Don't hold on to feelings of bitterness and resentment and let them poison your future. So let go of those hurts and pains. Forgive the people who did you wrong. Forgive yourself for the mistakes you made. Maybe you are the one you don't have forgiveness for. You may even need to forgive God for allowing it to happen to you. You will never be truly happy as long as you harbor bitterness in your heart. You will wallow in self-pity, always feeling sorry for yourself, thinking that life hasn't dealt you a fair hand. How does a person grow with that attitude? You can't. How does a person even succeed in life? You can't. When you're always walking around with self-pity or being a victim or woe is me, right? So we have to shake that kind of stuff off. You must let go of those negative attitudes and the accompanying anger maybe that you have with it. We need to change the channel of your thinking and start focusing on the goodness of God. But oftentimes this is what happens, okay? It's like we have our remote. We got a little chair that we're sitting down on, right? And we're going through the channels of our life, and we hit a certain situation that happened in our past, and we stop. And we sit down, and we eat the popcorn, and we start reliving that whole situation again. How do I know this? I've done it. All right? I'm just not pointing a finger at you. Remember, there's tons of them pointing at me. So it's like we just look at it, and we don't even change the channel. We're like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And that was the time when they said this and I just ran, or I just sat there, or that was a time when this and this happened, and we're eating that popcorn. But instead of us changing the channel to something positive, we'll change the channel to something again that's another negative thing in our life. Okay? And God doesn't want us to do that. Don't allow yourself to relive the hurts and pains that have happened in your past. That's the time we go, okay, God, I'm tired of this. I just give it to you. All of this junk, all of this garbage, I just give it to you. I don't want it anymore. Quickly, quickly take it out of my life. And quickly, quickly release it to him. The longer it stays in your life, the stronger the stench will be, right? It'll get fermented. And we talked about the stuff that was in my house one day when I came in and how it terribly smelled. And I had to find it and get rid of it and throw it out. All right, that's what happens in the natural. But that's also what happens with the things in our past, okay? So here we are with all this garbage of unforgiveness. What do we do with it? How do we get rid of, how do we overcome unforgiveness? Now I'm here to tell you, before we even start point number one, it's a process. If we were all super people, superwoman, and then something happened to me and I got my deflector shields or whatever it is, you know, and just deflect all this stuff, that would be awesome, but it doesn't happen that way. And I wish that we can just go, okay, I forgive him, but it doesn't happen that way either. It's a process that happens in our life to eventually totally release them and let it go. So number one, like I've been talking about, take the garbage out on a regular basis. Don't allow this junk to fester. I mean, even if the situation happened yesterday, okay, you got to look at it and you go, okay, I'll speak in first person about myself. I'll say, okay, Chris, or third person. Okay, Chris, what are you going to do about this? How are you going to handle this? And sometimes we have to allow ourselves to go through the remorse. We have to allow ourselves to go through the pain. Remember the stages of grief? But allow yourself to go through it, but in your mind say, I'm going to overcome this. It's not going to overcome me. And don't pet that pity monster, right? Mm-hmm. That thing will get bigger and bigger as we feed it and pet it. So don't feel sorry for yourself and think, you just don't understand. You didn't live my life. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what they did. Oh, trust me. I've lived some pretty junky stuff, okay? And I know it's not fun, and I know it's not easy to overcome, but you have to so that you can get that junk out, get that stink out. Number two, how to get rid of unforgiveness. Walk in love. Did you know that unforgiveness really is the opposite of love? Because unforgiveness kind of leans towards hate, doesn't it? Okay, so it's really the opposite of love. And if God is love, and he lives in you, don't you, and we want to be more like Jesus, right? Then we have to be willing to let go of those things. And let him walk with us as we're doing it, okay? So what legacy are you leaving behind when you pass on? When you pass away, will people esteem you and think fondly of you? Or will they think, you know, she was just an old bitter woman or old bitter man? Or they were always angry all the time. Okay, what legacy are you leaving behind? Forgiveness is a choice and based on obedience of God's command that is clearly set forth in his word that we walk in love. And there's times when something's happened in my life and I'm confronted with the person or the situation and I have to tell myself, I give myself a little pep talk and I'll say to myself, Chris, keep your mouth shut. Or Chris, walk in love. Chris, don't say anything mean to this person. I have to say that to myself. I pray for a new heart. I pray, Lord, I need a new heart because sometimes my heart can get ugly. You ever? No, just me? Or you? Okay, let's be sober here. Sometimes my heart can get ugly, all right? And I have to pray, Lord, I need a new heart right now because I want to punch him in the face. Okay? I think I'm doing pretty good when I have self-control and my hands stay down and my mouth stays shut. When I'm the type of personality that would just tell him how I feel and my hands are waving. Okay? So, self-control. It's better not to say anything at all, right? Than to say something you regret. So forgiveness is a choice based on obedience of God's command that is clearly set forth in his word that we walk in love. Think about being out in your yard, okay, on a summer day, watering your garden and your flowers, and you get a kink in the water hose, and the water stops flowing. If you don't water your flowers and plants, eventually they will die. So here you are. You have 10 million gallons of water sitting in Spokane's water reservoir, right? But one little twist, one little kink in your hose stops the water from flowing. Listen, we have all of God's power, God's blessing, and God's grace, but a kink, a twist in our heart of bitterness or unforgiveness can stop it from flowing in our life. And he has all this good stuff he wants to give us. It's important that we get all of those areas free and the river of life flowing at all times. We have to remember that out of the heart flows the issues of life, right? And we have to guard our heart and keep it with all diligence. And we talked about that when we were talking about revival of our hearts. Remember that on that one Sunday morning? And to guard our heart. We know that Jesus dealt with the inner man, the hidden man of the heart, as Peter referred to it. And Paul spoke of the inner man, which is guarding and keeping on the inside. And we are living in an hour where the Holy Spirit is saying to each one of us, walk in love, period. And Ephesians 5:2 says, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. I want to be sweet smelling to my God. But unforgiveness, hatred, bitterness, those type of things, we don't smell good. It's garbage piling up in our life, right? But here the scripture is talking about this sweet smelling aroma, sweet smelling savor, and it's all talking about walking in love. And I like to take that verse that we just read and read it in the Message Bible, and it says, mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. We need to love like that. And I put that on my Facebook, last week or something. And it just kind of brings it down in with the message. It just kind of brings it to today's terms. We need to love like that. Do you? You know, I am so tired of having this cloud when we're with people. You know, having this cloud of, heaviness sometimes. You ever feel it? Do you feel it? You know, we can have it with relatives. We can have it with people that, even at church. Okay? And it's because we're allowing this garbage, this junk to pile up in us. And or we have issues with people and we fail to walk in love like Jesus did. So we want to be like Jesus, right? How many want to be like Jesus? Amen. All right, number three, to get rid of unforgiveness. We forgive others through God's forgiveness for us. So how can we forgive? Where do we get the strength? We get it through God's forgiveness for us. Let's just get back down to Christianity 101 here. He said, he forgave us through the death of his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Period. Because he forgave us when Jesus died and bore our sins and took our penalty, was crucified and buried and then raised from the dead so that God could offer forgiveness and salvation to each one in this room, to each one that is listening to me right now. And this is our pattern, our example, and our help through faith and obedience to forgive others. What love. You know, he laid down his life for people that would even reject him, for people that are crucifying him, for people that are actually causing him harm. Right then and there, he loved him. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Right? And he wasn't the one that was losing that day, was he? He was the one that was winning. But what it looked like to the natural person, well, he's a goner. But we know what happened because he rose on the third day. And he did what he said he was going to do. And he took the keys of hell so that we don't have to go to hell because of the bad things, the stupid things we've done. Because we get to be forgiven. All right. Just put your paper and pens down just for a second. I want you to close your eyes right now. All right? I want you to see Jesus on the cross crucified. Do you see his wounds? Can you see the effects of the beatings and the lashes he took? Just close your eyes. Do you see it? Do you see the blood coming down off his forehead where the crown of thorns was placed? Do you see the nails in his hands and his feet? Now, I want you to look at his face. Do you see the anguish and yet love on his face? So you see this picture of Jesus. Can you see the wounds, the three-dimensional stripes, whippings that he took? Now, as you close your eyes, the very person or situation that's happened in your life, I want you to take them and place it in one of his wounds, okay? Just take it and take whatever happened to you and place it in Jesus' wounds. We're not being mean to him. That's what he died on the cross for. Not only our sins, but the sins that were committed to us, all right? So, and if you need to just even say their name, Lord, I place so-and-so right in there because I've been hurt by him and it's hard to forgive right now. Just place them in there. Have a conversation with the Lord and choose to forgive anyone and everyone who has offended you. Even now, he may be bringing other people or situations in your mind. Just place them in his wounds right now. And I just want you to speak, say in your mind, or if you even want to say it out loud, I just want you to say, I choose to forgive. And whenever that person comes to your mind and you think of how you were hurt or offended or even destroyed, remind yourself that you have chosen to forgive. Remind yourself that you've taken that person, that situation, and placed it in Jesus' wounds that he bore for you. And each time you start remembering, you go, that's right. Jesus took it. Jesus took it. Jesus took it. And then once you've done this, you choose to walk in love through faith and obedience. Lord, I just want to stop right now. Keep your eyes closed. Lord, I just pray that as we've placed these people, these situations in your wounds, Lord, we are giving them to you. Because what you did on the cross is a done deal. We don't have to add to it, and we don't subtract from it. You died for our sins, and you died for the sins that have committed against us. And so, Lord, we just place this unforgiveness, these people, these situations there. They don't even know what they've done, but you do. Lord, we just cover them with your blood. We cover them with who you are. We cover them with your love. And Lord, we leave them there, and we do not take them out of your wounds again. We just leave them there. We leave them there. We leave them there. And Lord, we choose to walk in love from this day forward. And we release them. They don't owe us anything. They don't owe us anything. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a garden person, sometimes we need to weed our garden of our heart and keep all the things that are not of love far away from us, right? Let's don't harbor on bitterness anymore. Let's change the channel to something good in our life. Amen? And we can definitely think of good things because he rose again. And we are set free. We don't have to live in that bondage and that junk anymore, right? We can live victoriously. We can have joy. We don't have to live in complacency. We don't have to dread tomorrow because he's already there, right? We don't have to dread even seeing these people that we've had issues with because he is there. And he will be with us when we see them. And a lot of times when I have to face somebody that has hurt me, I kind of pretend that I'm just holding Jesus' hand as I'm standing next to that person. They don't know what's going on, but I do. Okay? And I'm holding Jesus' hand saying, we can do this together. And I love you. And I will love them because that's what you want me to do. You see, my hatred, if I want to say that, or my unforgiveness is not as strong as my love for my Savior. That's way stronger. So I can hold on to Jesus' hand and knowing that he's right there loving on me and I'm loving on him. And it's then I can easily be with that situation or that person again or whatever it may be, okay? It's a good thing. Helps us to grow. Makes us stronger. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, quarreling, and even evil speaking be put away from your mouth. I'm sorry, put away from you with all malice. And malice gets into that area of hatred because of bitterness and resentment. And so it's saying here, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. Get it out of you. Don't say it anymore. You start speaking that, shut your mouth. If you have to put your hand over your mouth, shut it. Shut that pie hole. Don't let more junk come out, right? Then you got to ask for forgiveness again. You got to overcome that, right? And it's just piling up in your living room. Let's get rid of that. Cover the pie hole. Did you notice that all these are all cousins? Wrath, anger, malice, evil speaking. They're all cousins and they are all related. And they are all in the family of unforgiveness. I think I'm going to disown that family. I'm just saying. All right. Bitterness, wrath, anger, quarreling, evil speaking, talking ugly about people you are bitter against. You say vile things, slanderous reports, remarks that degrade and malice, angry, hatred. Let it be put away. This means to get rid of it, get over it, deal with it,